Today is the first day of October. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back here around the global campfire. It's great to be with everybody. Great to be with you today. Grateful. With a grateful heart. I'm glad that we can gather again for this 20th October 1st. For the 20th time, we have reached October again. And today is the 274th day of the year. And so, yeah, less than 100 days left in this year. It is, well, these years, they go by so fast. Especially like when we get here to a place like this where it's like, wow, this is October already. It just feels not too long ago that we began the journey. And yet it feels like a lot has happened in this year and we've come a long way together. And so very, very grateful to be here with you today. Very, very grateful to be able to take another step forward and just launch into this brand new shiny, sparkly month and this final quarter of the year. So we are in the book of Isaiah. We're about to finish Isaiah. I think we'll be wrapping up Isaiah tomorrow. And we're also working through Paul's letter to the Philippians, the church at Philippi. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6 through 65, verse 25 today. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. Whoever calls on the Lord, do not give yourselves any rest, and do not give him any rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it an object of praise throughout the earth. The Lord has sworn with his right hand and with his mighty arm, I will never again let your enemies eat your grain, nor will foreigners drink the new wine which you made. Those who harvest grain will eat it and praise the Lord. Those who gather grapes will drink wine in my holy courtyards. Go through the gates. Prepare a way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear away the stones. Raise a flag for the people. The Lord has announced to the ends of the earth, tell my people Zion, your Savior is coming. His reward is with him, and the people he has won arrive ahead of him. They will be called holy people, those reclaimed by the Lord, and you will be called sought after, a city not deserted. Who is this coming from Bozrah and Edom with his clothes stained bright red? Who is this dressed in splendor, going forward with great strength? It is I, the Lord. I am coming to announce my victory. I am powerful enough to save you. Why are your clothes red and your garments like those who trample grapes in a winepress? I have trampled alone in the winepress. No one was with me. In my anger, I trampled on people. In my wrath, I stomped on them. Their blood splattered my clothes, so all of my clothing has been stained. I planned the day of vengeance. The year for my reclaiming you has come. I looked, but there was no help. I was astounded that there was no outside support. So with my own power, I won a victory. My anger supported me. In my anger, I trampled on people. In my wrath, I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground. I I will acknowledge the Lord's acts of mercy and sing the praises of the Lord because of everything that the Lord has done for us. He has done many good things for the nation of Israel because of his compassion and his unlimited mercy. He said, "They are my people, children who will not lie to me." So he became their savior. In all their troubles, he was troubled, and he was the messenger who saved them. In his love and compassion, he reclaimed them. He always held them and carried them in the past, but they rebelled and offended his Holy Spirit. So he turned against them as their enemy. He fought against them. Then his people remembered Moses and the distant past. Where is the one who brought them out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is the one who put his Holy Spirit in them? Where is the one who sent his powerful arm to support the right hand of Moses? Where is the one who divided the water in front of them to make an everlasting name for himself? Where is the one who led them through the deep water? Like horses in the wilderness, they didn't stumble. Like animals going down into a valley, they were given rest by the Lord's Spirit. In this way, you guided your people to make an honored name for yourself. Look down and see from heaven, from your holy and beautiful dwelling. Where is your determination and might? Where is the longing of your heart and your compassion? Don't hold back. You are our Father. Even though Abraham doesn't know us and Israel doesn't pay attention to us, O Lord, you are our Father. Your name is our defender from everlasting. O Lord, why do you let us wander from your ways and become so stubborn that we are unable to fear you? Return for the sake of your servants. They are the tribes that belong to you. Your holy people possessed the land for a little while. Our enemies have trampled on your holy place. We have become like those whom you never ruled, like those who are not called by your name. If only you would split open the heavens and come down. The mountains would quake at your presence. Be like the fire that kindles brushwood and makes water boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies. The nations will tremble in your presence. When you did awe-inspiring things that we didn't expect, you came down and the mountains quaked in your presence. No one has ever heard, no one has paid attention, and no one has seen any God except you. You help those who wait for you. You greeted the one who gladly does right and remembers your ways. You showed your anger because we've sinned. We've continued to sin for a long time. Can we still be saved? We've all become unclean, and all our righteous acts are like permanently stained rags. All of us shrivel like leaves, and our sins carry us away like the wind. No one calls on your name or tries to hold on to you. You have hidden your face from us. You have let us be ruined by our sins. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are the work of your hands. Don't be too angry, Lord. Don't remember our sin forever. Now look, we are all your people. Your holy cities have become a desert. Zion has become a desert. Jerusalem is a wasteland. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our ancestors praised you, has been burned to the ground. All that we valued has been ruined. Despite these things, Lord, will you hold back? Will you be silent and make us suffer more than we can bear? I was ready to answer those who didn't ask. I was found by those who weren't looking for me. I said, here I am. Here I am to a nation that didn't worship me. I stretched out my hands all day long to stubborn people. They chose to go the wrong direction. They followed their own plans. These people constantly and openly provoked me. They offered sacrifices in gardens and burnt incense on brick altars. They sat among the graves and spent their nights in caves. They ate pork and in their pots made broth from unclean foods. They said, stay away, don't touch me. I'm holier than you are. They have become like smoke in my nose, like a smoldering fire all day long. Look, it is written in front of me. I will not be silent, but I will repay. I will repay you in full. I will repay you for your sins and for the sins of your ancestors, says the Lord. They burnt incense on the mountains and slandered me on the hills, so I will be the first to pay them back in full. This is what the Lord says. When someone finds juice for a new wine in a cluster of grapes, another person will say, don't destroy it, because there's a blessing in it. In the same way, I will do this for my servants. I will not destroy everything. I will bring with me Jacob's descendant, one who will inherit my mountains from Judah. My chosen ones will inherit them. My servants will live there. The Sharon Plain will be a pasture for flocks. The Achor Valley will be a resting place for cattle and for my people who search for me. You have abandoned the Lord and forgotten my holy mountain. You have prepared a table for the God of good fortune and offered cups full of spiced wine to the goddess of destiny. Now I will destine you for death. All of you will bow to be slaughtered. I called, but you didn't answer. I spoke, but you didn't listen. You did what I consider evil. You chose what I don't like. This is what the Lord God says. My servants will eat, but you will be hungry. My servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. My servants will be glad, but you will be ashamed. My servants will sing because of the gladness in their hearts, but you will cry because of your sadness and wail because of your depression. Your name will be used as a curse by my chosen ones. The Almighty Lord will kill you and call his servants by another name. Whoever asks for a blessing in the land will be blessed by the God of truth. Whoever swears an oath in the land will swear by the God of truth. Past troubles are forgotten. They are hidden from my eyes. I will create a new heaven and a new earth. Past things will not be remembered. They will not come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm going to create, because I'm going to create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people to be a joy. I will rejoice about Jerusalem and be glad about my people. Screaming and crying will no longer be heard in the city. There will no longer be an infant who lives for only a few days, or an old man who doesn't live a long life. Whoever lives to be 100 years old will be thought of as young. Whoever dies before he is 100 years old will be cursed as a sinner. They who build houses and live there, they will plant vineyards and eat fruit from them. They will not build homes and have others live there. They will not plant and have others eat from it. My people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will enjoy what they've done. They will never again work for nothing. They will never again give birth to children who die young, because they will be offspring blessed by the Lord. The Lord will bless their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. Wolves and lambs will feed together. Lions will eat straw like oxen, and dust will be food for snakes. They will not hurt or destroy anyone, anywhere on my holy mountain, says the Lord. Philippians 2:19 through 3:3. I hope that the Lord Jesus will allow me to send Timothy to you soon so that I can receive some encouraging news about you. I don't have anyone else like Timothy. He takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Everyone else looks after his own interests, not after those of Jesus Christ. But you know what kind of person Timothy proved to be. Like a father and son, we worked hard together to spread the good news. I hope to send him as soon as I see how things are going to turn out for me. But the Lord gives me confidence that I will come to visit you soon. I feel that I must send Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, back to you. You sent him as your personal representative to help me in my need. He has been longing to see all of you and is troubled because you heard he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he almost died. But God had mercy not only on him, but also on me, and kept me from having one sorrow on top of another. So I'm especially eager to send him to you. In this way, you will have the joy of seeing him again, and I will feel relieved. Give him a joyful Christian welcome. Make sure you honor people like Epaphroditus highly. He risked his life and almost died for the work of Christ in order to make up for the help you couldn't give me. Now then, brothers and sisters, be joyful in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you, and it's for your safety. Beware of dogs. Beware of those who do evil things. Beware of those who insist on circumcision. We are the true circumcised people of God, because we serve God's Spirit and take pride in Christ Jesus. We don't place any confidence in physical things. Psalm 73, Book 3, A Psalm by Asaph. God is truly good to Israel, to those whose lives are pure. But my feet had almost stumbled. They had almost slipped because I was envious of arrogant people when I saw the prosperity that wicked people enjoy. They suffer no pain. Their bodies are healthy. They have no drudgery in their lives like ordinary people. They are not plagued with problems like others. That is why they wear arrogance like a necklace and acts of violence like clothing. Their eyes peer out from their fat faces and their imaginations run wild. They ridicule. They speak maliciously. They speak arrogantly about oppression. They verbally attack heaven, and they order people around on earth. That is why God's people turn to wickedness and swallow their words. Then wicked people ask, "What does God know? Does the Most High know anything? Look how wicked they are. They never have a worry. They grow more and more wealthy. I've received no reward for keeping my life pure and washing my hands of any blame. I'm plagued with problems all day long, and every morning my punishment begins again. If I had said, 'I will continue to talk like that,' I would have betrayed God's people. But when I tried to understand this, it was too difficult for me. Only when I came into God's holy place did I finally understand what would happen to them. You put them in slippery places and make them fall into ruin. They are suddenly destroyed. They are completely swept away by terror. As someone gets rid of a dream when he wakes up, so you, O Lord, get rid of the thought of them when you wake up. When my heart was filled with bitterness and my mind was seized with envy, I was stupid and I did not understand. I was like a dumb animal in your presence. And I am always with you. You hold on to my right hand. With your advice, you guide me, and in the end, you will take me to glory. As long as I have you, I don't need anyone else in heaven or on earth. My body and mind may waste away, but God remains the foundation of my life and my inheritance forever. Without a doubt, those who are far from you will die. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. Being united with God is my highest good. I have made the Almighty Lord my refuge, so that I may report everything that He has done." Proverbs 24, 13 and 14. "Eat honey, my son, because it is good. Honey that flows from the honeycomb tastes sweet. The knowledge of wisdom is like that for your soul. If you find it, then there is a future, and your hope will never be cut off." Okay, so now we are launched into a brand new shiny, sparkly month, the final quarter of the year. I guess we could say the beginning of the home stretch on this 20th journey through the Bible. And usually about this point right here, I try to just center us for a second, because this is an important moment. We are way out in front of what's coming as the year comes to a conclusion. But the year from here only seems to speed up, get more and more chaotic often, more hectic, more pressure, more stress, obligation, more worry, which can disrupt everything in the flow of our lives, really wreak havoc on our relationships, cause a lot of division, cause us to be reaching in places that are unhealthy, are just downright destructive. So we're out in front of that right this second. 3 months from today, right now, it'll be New Year's Day. We will be beginning a brand new year. And so this is kind of a moment to commit to finishing strong. I have heard it said, but I also have lived it to be true. You really can only begin something based on how strong you finished what you were doing. You can just abandon and abandon and abandon and just keep starting and starting and starting. To actually have something of meaning and of value, you gotta finish well and then begin strong. And so that needs to just come as a blip on our radar, just a blip. We look at every new brand new shiny sparkly week, we look at every brand new shiny sparkly month, and understand that we are going to write the story and make the choices. And so we're out here in front of how this year ends, but we're going to tell that story. And we can go crashing into the new year absolutely obliterated and exhausted and having just completely fallen in every way possible. But we can finish strong. It's up to us. Psalm 73 today. Asaph wrote this, and he is talking about his feelings, and he is feeling anything but strong. He's feeling this angst, this anxiety, this bewilderment, this profound frustration over what he looks around and sees in the world. Have you ever felt like that? For Asaph, it seems that the unrighteous, those are the ones that are actually being prosperous and blessed. And those who are trying to remain true to God are the ones that are languishing. Asaph confesses, I just about lost my footing on that. My feet were slipping. I was almost gone. I envied the proud. I saw them prospering despite their wickedness. It didn't make any sense to me. Ever felt that way? And I've felt that way in my life. How are they getting away with it? There is no justice. There is no reason. There is no reason to try when everything gets destroyed anyway. And people get to walk away clean and free, having caused so much profound destruction. So we've probably all in some way shared some kind of sentiment along these lines. For all the effort to try hard to live true and upright, we see that others, people that do not care, seem to have it easier. And so that's frustrating, to say the least, bewildering, depressing. The psalmist captures it. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor. I would have betrayed your people. So I tried to understand why. Why do the wicked prosper? How do they get away with it? What a difficult task trying to figure that out is, Asaph says. So when we reach that kind of a place, it's a junction. It's a crossroads. The next steps that we take are going to decide the direction that our lives are going to take, because we really can throw our hands up in the air in disgust. and just lose it and walk, just walk away. Just walk into whatever has its arms out waiting for us. Walk straight into whatever darkness is first available, thinking that somehow, gosh, somehow everyone else is doing better. There's no point in trying. And our judgment of God's sovereignty and Him allowing all this somehow gives us a license to do whatever we want then. But it, at least biblically, as we watch those stories play out, and probably in our own experience as well, but biblically, as we watch those kinds of decisions and stories play out, it doesn't work. So Asaph has no problem, and he really does articulate well the disgust and the bewilderment of those kinds of unjust predicaments where he's trying to do the right thing. Well, the people who are just stealing life from you get away with it. He articulates that well, and he can't figure it out until he does. And he goes on to say, here's how I figured it out. I went into your sanctuary, God, and I finally did understand the destiny of the wicked. I could see that you have them walking on a slippery path, and they will slide over the edge, and they will meet their destruction. So rather than just completely reacting and just losing ourselves, or losing himself anyway, Asaph chose to go back into God's presence. And in God's presence, he realized that there's more going on than we know. And this thing that looks like a solid foundation for the wicked, who just get to get away with it, is not sure and is not solid and doesn't really mean anything with the long view of everlasting life. The security that they seem to be experiencing in this life will not protect them in the next. There will be no protection at all. And in light of that, Asaph realized that what was tormenting him wasn't so much about the wicked prospering. It was the bitterness. And he confesses that. I realized, he says, that my heart was bitter. I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish. I was ignorant. I must have looked like a senseless animal to you. And so he's just confessing, pouring it out, centering himself in God, realizing that he had something that the wicked did not have. Hope. Eternal hope. And so his last move is to open his heart and worship. He said, I still belong to you. You hold my hand. You guide me with your counsel. You're leading me to a destiny. Who do I even have? Who do I have in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail. My spirit may grow weak inside of me. But you remain the strength of my heart. You're mine forever. Is a beautiful wrestling, a beautiful heart's posture as we move into this final push of the year. Bitterness, envy, these kinds of things are all over the holidays. We might think that's a long ways off, but it will get here so fast. So if we find ourselves battling bitterness, remember this day, October 1st. Remember this day when that happens. Come back here. Come back here to these words that Asaph says in the Psalms. And remember, you can envy and you can be bitter. And I get it, 1,000,000%. But we also can remember that God is the strength of our heart. So, Father, be the strength of our hearts. May our eyes be upon you and where you are going and where we are going with you, not as compared to someone else's story. You will not let them get away with it. In the end, what is stolen will be taken back. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base. Where to find out what's going on around here, where to get connected. So, you know, 20 years is something that we've been saying at least every other day. Only get to do this once. And very grateful to be able to do that. And so we've introduced a number of 20-year-centric things as we're celebrating. Earlier in the spring, we released 20th year anniversary with our 20-year logo, Clean Canteens, with spring colors. So many of you have those, the peach color and the marigold color, which is the one I bought and the one I love and the one I'm actually drinking the Southern Pecan Coffee out of today, right now. Today, and this will be the last of it today, we are launching our 20th year anniversary Clean Canteens with our fall or autumn colors. A little more subdued, a little less summertimey. And we have limited supplies of those. And this will be the last of the Clean Canteens and the last of that for the 20th anniversary. So these are kind of very, very limited editions. And if you have these are very limited editions. So two brand new colors that will, they always do go fast. And the last of the 20-year logo for the Clean Canteens. The colors are Seafoam Green and Corsair. And the Corsair color is a really modern blue color. Muted blue color. The Seafoam Green actually has a little bit of a story because it is pert near exactly the color of our studios, like the exterior of our studios where we do Daily Audio Bible. Love that color because it really fits into nature really, really well. And we've had one very, very similar to it. Not for 20 years, but a long time ago. The kind of muted green one. So, a limited supply. They are available now. They won't last that long. The last of the 20-year anniversary Clean Canteens. These are more in our autumn, kind of centric, seasonal colors. And I'm letting you know that they are in the Daily Audio Bible shop right now. And so if you didn't get to grab one in the summer because they were already gone, this is your chance to grab one in the autumn. And if you're collecting these, well, that's a beautiful thing to have. And we're so grateful so grateful for the ability to have been here this long every day. So, have at it. Go grab them while they're available. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning. This is Dr. Mack in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm calling to pray for this young lady whose mother suffered with cancer. They didn't know she had stage 4 cancer. And she went home to be with the Lord. I heard your pain and I heard the deep sorrow in your heart, and I want to encourage you that God's got it. God's got you in his everlasting comforting arms. And in this time of sorrow, I want to pray that God will strengthen you and the rest of your family, but particularly you. You touched my heart so much. I'm a mother and in my 70s as well, very healthy, and have a son who is also very healthy. And I can't begin to imagine that something like that would happen and he would have to bury me at an age when he really needs me. So I pray to God that God will strengthen you, daughter of God. Blessed daughter of God, you will see the hand of God in such an amazing way. He will turn that pain into purpose, because God has a way of allowing things in our lives to cause us to know him in a way that we have never known him before. So as you go through this pain, you'll know that God has a purpose, a divine purpose for your life. And in the years to come, you will let us know in the group how God has turned your pain into purpose. So God, strengthen our sister and help her in these difficult times in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, family. It's Soaring on Angel's Wings from Canada, and I'm calling now from Maryland. Melissa from Houston, I heard your prayer request. My heart goes out to you. How do we say goodbye to someone we love so much, like your mom? And hearing after she's passed that she had stage 4 cancer. So I'll pray for you right now. Abba, Father, you see Melissa. You hear the pain in her voice and all that has happened with her mom passing. She needs to find that peace that only you can give. And I pray, God, that as she hears about her mom's illness and not knowing that she would come to terms with it, she would not let it hang over her and bring such a cloud that she cannot be healed from this memory. Abba, you're the one who gave her mother her to her mom before she was even born. You had a plan and a purpose for Melissa's life because you handpicked her for such a time as this. Help her through this time of mourning. and bring her through it so she can have joy again. Lift that pain, oh God.
Hello, DAB family. This is Maranatha Matt. It is Sunday, September 28th. Just want to call in and thank you all for praying for my unborn son. His name is Caleb. Heard a few calls, heard from a few folks who called in with a prayer. So thank you. And thank you to everyone who has been praying in the background. Truly appreciate that. I want to give just a quick update. My wife is now 27 weeks pregnant, and it has been 3 weeks since we got the news about Caleb's problems. He has defects with his brain, his heart, his spine, hands and feet. There's just a lot of things that are wrong with him, and it is very likely caused by a chromosomal disorder called trisomy 18. And so we found this out 3 weeks ago. The doctors do not expect him to survive. They gave him about 6 weeks, so we're halfway through. Caleb is still alive. He is moving in the womb pretty regularly, so we are thankful and praising God for that. And please continue to pray for the miracle of full and complete healing. My wife and I are praying for that, and we are believing for that. And we just want to thank you all. Well, thank you, and Maranatha.
Hello, DAB family. This is Grandma's Girl. I'm calling because I have an urgent prayer request for my cousin who was on the streets of Baltimore, homeless and addicted to drugs. He's been out there for years, and I just need God to rescue him. I don't live in state. I live in the Southwest. And my just heart is breaking. A family member sent a picture of him the other day. They saw him, but they don't stop for him. And he looks really, really, really bad. I mean, very bad. It looks like death is upon him. And I've been praying very hard, asking God to intervene, to send someone in his life to help him, to bring to that point of a sober mind so that he can, you know, ask for help or just talk to himself and say, enough is enough. I need help. So many times people tell me they have to hit rock bottom, but to me, he's already at rock bottom. So I'm just asking God for divine intervention. So please pray with me. My cousin's name is Craig Lamont Travis. I've been calling out his name. So please pray with me that God rescue him and don't let the devil take his soul. In Christ's name, thank you. I love you.
Hi, this is Jane in Pennsylvania. If you could please pray for my brother, Chris. He recently had some foot surgery, and he's healing right now. And it just, you know, my family has been through trauma a long time ago, and he carries a lot of this with him. And so anything extra that he has to deal with, it gets really, he gets very volatile and is very angry and, you know, puts out outbursts. And I'm helping him right now in different ways to support him and what he's going through. And I'm so happy to do it. And I love him. But he can really take out what he's going through on me and, like, really direct that over at me. And I really don't take it personal. And I can really love him unconditionally through this. But it's just, it's not easy. It's not, it's very toxic and unhealthy. So there's times that he's better, but he's just so on the edge all the time. And so first of all, I'm praying for his salvation, and I'm just standing on God's word for that. And then also, if you could just pray that for the healing, but then also I think it's more just, you know, like his salvation, but then also this internal emotional wounding that needs healing also. Thank you. God bless you.
Good morning. My name is Marie. I'm from Pleasanton, California. I'm calling about several people that I'd like to have lifted up in prayer because they are experiencing a lot of pain. My friend Heidi, she's been dealing with cancer for about 10 years that I know of, and she just sent a message several days ago saying she was just really at the end of her rope and she didn't know if she could go on anymore dealing with the pain. And I just pray that she gets, Lord will provide the help she needs to meet this need of this intense pain she's going through from her cancer. I also want to lift up my friend who fell down last week and she injured her tailbone. And she also is in a lot of pain. And yes, if you could just lift her up and agree with me in prayer. And also, I'd like you to pray for my husband, Abdul, that he just needs a touch from the Lord to give him peace and comfort his body and his mind. He just looks so worried these days and he's kind of upset a lot. So just lift him up and that's it. Thank you. I do thank you and I appreciate all of you. I appreciate Daily Audio Bible. I've been a listener for 10 years and I call in from time to time. God bless you all. And I do pray for you. Bye-bye.